Good morning. Our reading is from Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. I feel blessed to have the opportunity to speak to you. I am very thankful. And I really don't have words to describe how thankful I am to this congregation for the opportunities that you have given me over the past 3 years. Me and Jay, the other intern, we talk about it every now and again, about how blessed we are here at 36th Street, how you guys encourage us and help us to grow into the men that we want to be for God. So I'm thankful for the opportunity today. As we begin, let us go to God in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come before you in your name, thankful for the opportunity to worship you today. We pray, Father, that our words that we say might be ways that we glorify you. But Father, we pray more than that, that as we leave this place today, that we will be people of action, that we will go out and do your will in this community, that we will be an impact and a light to the people who don't have any light. Father, empower us. And give us the wisdom and strength to do what we need to do to serve you each day. Father, we praise you in all things, and please be with us as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a running back out of Burns High School in Duncan, South Carolina. He was one of the best recruits that South Carolina has ever seen. In fact, in his senior year, he was named Mr. Football in South Carolina. The USA Today named him an All-American his senior year of high school. Pretty much what that means is USA Today made a team, a high school football team, and out of all the players in the country, out of all the running backs they could have chosen from, they selected Marcus Lattimore as their running back. He's from about 30 minutes from where I grew up. His high school actually played ours. We were in the same conference. And so I know some people that really watched Marcus Lattimore play. And they would always say, when he was in high school, it was like he was playing on a completely different level than everybody else. He was seeing the field in one way, and everybody else was seeing it in another. There were some that even compared Marcus Lattimore to the great Emmitt Smith. For those of you that don't know, he is statistically the best running back to ever play the position. So in high school, this man, this young man at the age of, 18 in high school, he was drawing comparisons to the best running back to ever play the game. Marcus had it all. He had speed, he had vision, he had quickness, he had agility. He decided to go play in the best conference in football for the University of South Carolina. And his freshman year, he continued that success. At the end of his freshman year, he was named the NCAA Freshman of the Year. Out of all the freshmen in the country, out of all the freshman football players, he was the best. He continued that success in 2011, his sophomore year, until midway through the year. He had a knee injury. In one of his knees, he tore both his ACL and his MCL. This man, with all the talent in the world, is hurt. And if you know much about the position of running back, it requires your knees. Your knees are so vitally important to be able to plant and be able to run quickly. And he had this devastating knee injury. But Marcus, being the resilient man that he is, fought back. And in 2012, he took the field again. He got back from this terrible knee injury. Because remember, he's Marcus Lattimore. But in 2012... bad news continues to roll. He's given a handoff to the left against the University of Tennessee. One Tennessee defender goes low, another Tennessee defender goes high, Marcus is tackled and tumbles, and when he sits up, he looks down at his leg, and one part of his leg is pointing one direction, and the other part of his leg is pointing a completely different direction. Completely gruesome. In one instant, Marcus went back from being at the top to the bottom again. He struggled again, and he rehabbed his knee, and he did get drafted into the NFL. But suddenly, last November, Marcus Lattimore announced his retirement without ever playing an NFL down. He never played a professional down. This man who had all the talent, this man who had the ability to be the best ever, he had the potential to be the greatest at the position. 4 years after drawing those comparisons, doesn't play football anymore. I tell you all this for a reason. I know a lot of you don't necessarily like football. But I tell you this because of the impact that Marcus still has on my life, even though he hung up the cleats. I follow Marcus Lattimore on Twitter. And for those of you on Twitter know that, you know, there are famous athletes and Hollywood stars that have thousands, if not millions, of followers. So I'm not pretending to say I know Marcus Lattimore. But I know that he impacts my life. You see, this man who was given all the talent, but it was taken away from him because of injury, still tweets things like this: "My God is awesome." You mean to tell me the God that took away everything from you because of injury is awesome? Yes, my God is awesome. All three of these tweets are after his horrific knee injury, the second one. He also tweets things like this: "The fact that God still blesses a sinner like me, hashtag amazing." He praises God in the midst of the difficulties that he's had in his life. He praises God even though he had all the talent in the world, but that was robbed of him. And this third one is the one that will propel us into our lesson this morning. Marcus tweets, "Play the hand that's dealt. God doesn't have a rewind button. Keep moving forward." You don't have to study the Bible very long to understand that there are people that are put in less than desirable circumstances. There are times when God's people have their back against the wall. They seem like they have nowhere to turn, but yet they look to God. They keep moving forward in the difficult situations, and God delivers them. You know, I think of Joseph. His own family, his brothers, hated him and sold him into slavery. You know, there were times I didn't get along with my sister, but I never once thought, you know, let me just sell her into slavery, maybe make a buck or two. But Joseph's brothers hated him that much to sell him. He was imprisoned because of some more difficult circumstances, some more issues that happened, some more times he was falsely accused. But yet God raised him up to be a great leader in Egypt. And he ended up delivering his people because of those terrible circumstances that he was put in. You know, I think of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. I think of Jabez. Jabez's name means pain. Could you imagine walking around with the name Pain? It's because his mother bore him in pain. Talk about a lousy name. Despite that, despite those kind of circumstances, the Bible says that Jabez was more noble, was more honorable than his brothers. He prayed to God, and God answered his prayer because of his honor. He rose above the circumstances that he was put in. And then I think of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the ones you might know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were stuck between a rock and a hard place. Either we bow down to this golden image and forsake God, or we forsake the king and bow down to God. They were stuck in this difficult circumstance, but God delivers them from the fiery furnace. Time and time again, God uses people who are in less than desirable circumstances if they keep moving forward. It's easy to sulk and sit here and say, "Woe is me. Look at all the difficulties in my life. Look at all the problems that I have." That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do is pick ourselves up and keep moving forward. So if you are here today with some horrible circumstances, some situations in which you wish you had another option, another way to handle it, the challenge today is to keep moving forward. But also the flip side of that is if your life is going so good, those are the times it's easiest to forget God. So whether you are on a spiritual high or a spiritual low, if your life is going great or if your life really stinks right now, the challenge is still the same. Keep moving forward. God does not have a rewind button. If you would turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I won't have it on the screen. So if you would, grab a Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Paul was another man that had some difficult circumstances. We talked about those this morning. Brother Wright talked about how Paul was beaten many times. He was stoned. He was left for dead. And he called those things slight momentary affliction. He was given less than desirable circumstances. But God used him for great things. In Philippians chapter 3, the beginning of this talks about all the great things, the accolades, the things that were on Paul's resume. And to him, we'll see in a second, that was Paul's idol. That's what he exalted above everything else, was all the things that he had done in his life, his list of accomplishments. But to those, he says in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." This morning I have three things that we need to do if we plan to press on. If we plan to keep moving forward, as Marcus says in his tweet. If we plan to do those things, if we plan to have an upward focus, a focus on the goal, there are three things we need to do from Philippians chapter 3. The first one is we have to be willing to sacrifice. Paul came to God with this resume, this list of things that he had done. He had even begun persecuting Christians. And as a Jew, that was the best thing you could do because Jesus was a false teacher. He was a false Messiah, and that's why they crucified him. So Paul was very zealous for what he was doing. He came to God with this list of things that he'd done. And God says, "I want you to lay those things down. I want you to count those as loss. I want you to sacrifice those things." And that's what he says he does. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Paul, it was the things that he had done. What is your thing that you have to lay aside? What is the thing you have to lay down so that you might take up Christ? What do you have to count as loss? Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Focus on this last sentence. "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Jesus' words there say, you have to lay yourself down. You have to deny yourself. You have to deny the things that you want to do. For Paul, the things that he had to leave behind, the things he had to sacrifice, the way in which he had to not deny himself was his own accomplishments, his own pride in the things that he had done. For you, it may be your job. It may be your money. It may be relationships that are taking you away from God. It may be friendships that are taking you away from God. Whatever it is, be willing to lay it down. I was reading an article. There was a man by the name, there still is a man, he's still alive, by the name of Joshua Fields Milburn. And I told this story to you guys before, I believe about a year ago. At the age of 27, he became a leader of a large telecom company. And he was asked to give this plan to phase out 8 retail stores and to terminate 41 employees. With this plan, he finally decides to hand it in. And on that list are 42 names. He'd written his name at the very top of this list of employees to terminate. You see, 2 years before, Milburn had watched his mother die and his marriage dissolve in the span of a month. When he looked around at the life he'd built for himself, he had a 6-figure salary, an impressive title, and a big house full of stuffed closets, but he didn't feel fulfilled. Instead, he felt weighed down by the things he'd accumulated, working 80 hours a week, trapped in a cycle of consumerism, which had ultimately ruined his relationship and left him in $100,000 in debt. This is what he said after he left those things behind. He said, "Once I shed the superfluous things I owned, it led to the other parts of my life. My health, relationships, work," Milburn tells the Business Insider. He says, "I had wrapped my identity in my career and status, but started to realize that it wasn't in line with my beliefs." If you or I wraps our identity in anything other than Christ Jesus our Lord, our identity is wrapped in the wrong things. We have to be willing, if we want to press on, if we want to move forward, we have to be willing to lay those things aside. Mark last week talked about, if the world was ending tomorrow, what sermon would you preach today? And the premise of his lesson is that it wouldn't change. He would preach the gospel, he would preach the main message, and he would keep the main things the main things. In our life, we have to make sure that we keep the main things the main things. We have to be willing to sacrifice all those other things that get in our way if we wish to press on. The second thing, jump down to verse 12. Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says there in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." So you mean to tell me that the Apostle Paul, that it writes half the New Testament, that was beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, started and planted a number of congregations, you mean that man had not already obtained it? Why do you or I sit on our hands and say, "I've done enough for God"? If the Apostle Paul had not already obtained it, why do we sit around and look around for somebody else to do something because we've done enough? I think in some ways we look behind us and it's not the bad things that hold us down, it's the good things. You see, he says there, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. We need to forget our successes in the same way that we need to forget our failures. Sure, we need to learn from those things and we can't completely put them out of our mind, but we cannot let our successes or our failures paralyze us like they have the ability to do. We need to press on. And Paul was the man that he was because he was not satisfied with where he was in his walk with God. He was constantly trying to grow. He was constantly trying to press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Why do you press on, Paul? Why do you do this? Verse 12, look at the second half after the second comma. It says there, "because Christ Jesus made me his own." Why do we press on? Because Christ pressed on for us. At any point, he could have stopped. At any point, he could have said, "God, take me home. You're going to have to find another way." But yet, he endured for us. He endured the cross. He pressed on for us. So we press on. We forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. It's easy to dwell on the past, but we should let our past guide our future. Let it propel us. Let our past drive us for more. So we must be willing to sacrifice. We must use our past to propel us forward. And thirdly, the reason we press on is found in verse 20. It says there, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." We press on because this world is not our home. We press on because our citizenship is somewhere else. We press on because our home is to be with our Father who is in heaven. We press on because Jesus paved the way so that we might be co-heirs. We might be citizens in that heavenly kingdom with God. We press on because we're trying to get somewhere. We've got to focus on the goal. We've got to focus on the prize that is before us. We must focus on our home. Paul realized that there was a better place. And that's another thing we talked about in Bible class this morning. You know, the things that we suffer on this earth, they're slight, momentary afflictions in comparison to what God has prepared for us. We press on because heaven is our home, and we must strive to make it our home. It's not something you do at one point and bam, I'm a citizen in heaven and I don't have to ever worry about it again. My ticket's punched, I'm ready to go. It's something we work for each and every day of our life. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross when it's convenient. Take up your cross when others are going to exalt you for it. Take up your cross when everybody else is doing it. No, He says, take up your cross daily and follow Me. In order to press on, we must sacrifice some things. We must let our past propel us into the future. And we must be willing to focus on heaven as our home. This last semester, I took a Greek class with Dr. Moss. Mark was also in the class, but neither of them are here to say that I was actually in this class. So you just have to take my word for it. But in that class, we studied the early church fathers. And one of those books that we studied, it was translating those from Greek to English, one of those was The Martyrdom of Polycarp. Polycarp was a servant of God, and he was confronted with a situation in which the proconsul wanted to kill him because of his faith in God. And Polycarp, I think, encompasses all three of these things about pressing on. I want to read to you a section from The Martyrdom of Polycarp, chapter 9. In verse 3, "And when the proconsul pressed him," that is Polycarp, "and said, 'Swear, and I will release you, revile Christ,' Polycarp said," really focus on this, "'86 years have I served him, and in nothing has he wronged me. How then can I blaspheme my King who saved me?'" Polycarp realized there was things he needed to sacrifice. He was going to sacrifice his own life. He was going to give up his life for the sake of Christ. That was what he was willing to sacrifice. He looked back on his life and he says, 86 years have I served God, have I served Christ, and He has never wronged me. Well, I'm here to tell you that God has never wronged you or I. Polycarp looked at his past and said, that's going to propel me to my future. And the third thing, he realized that his King saved him. He had a home in heaven that was far greater than this earth, and that made it all right. It made it worth it to sacrifice this life. The challenge today is to press on. There are countless examples of people that had difficult circumstances or circumstances that were so good but yet they pressed on. That is our challenge and our call today. So I ask you, have you been pressing on? Maybe you haven't been willing to sacrifice the things in your life that keep you from God. Maybe you're not willing to leave the past in the past. And maybe you're not willing to let go of this earth and realize your citizenship is in heaven. Whatever that case is, I challenge you to consider these things. Consider Philippians 3. And I challenge you to press on. Press on when it's hard. Press on when it's easy. And press on when nobody else is doing it. I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This morning, we have the opportunity to help you. If you have a need to become a Christian, come believing that Jesus died for you. Repent of your sins, confess Him as your Lord, and you can be baptized and have all of your sins washed away. You can become a new creature. You can begin your walk with God. You can begin to press on. But if you are a Christian and you haven't been moving forward the way that you should be, if you've been letting things get in the way of your walk with God, if you've been dwelling too much on the past, if you've been focused too much on this earth, the call, the invitation is also for you. If you have any need this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.